B-Pod Studios.
All right, it's the 3 o'clock hour of the Mike Mussinelli Show. It's brought to us, the 3 o'clock hour, by Corpoli's Bakery and Deli, world-famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays, every bit as good. Brian Westbrook joins us at 4 o'clock. We'll have Andrew Brand at 4:30 to shed some light on the legal issues and also the Kaepernick situation, because he does have very strong opinions on how the NFL operates, and we'll hear from him at 4:30. You know, in law, it's like what you do is that you distinguish one case from another. When it comes to these sports cases, you distinguish one case from another, one set of facts, one fact pattern from another, right? There was one case in football that I remember studying, and it involved a player named Boobie Clark, Tyrone. He was a running back for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Okay.
And he was sued in civil court by a linebacker named Dale Hackbart.
Why?
Here's what happened in the play. Cincinnati quarterback had thrown an interception. And so in the course of the interception return, this Hackbart now is trying to block for his guy returning the interception. Boobie Clark obviously is a running back on the field, now has to turn into a defensive player.
Right.
So he's pursuing the tackle. This Hackbart goes down to try to block him. Goes low on him.
Tries to cut him.
Right. Misses him. Clark stops and smashes him with a forearm on the head.
Okay.
Now, no penalty was called. It was away from the play. Officials didn't see it. On the video, they see it. Hackbart had a broken vertebrae.
Ooh. Okay.
From the blow. So he sues him in civil court and prevails. Now, where that takes it out of criminal element is that the court looked at it and go, okay, it's not criminal because this is something that would not be unreasonable to happen in a game. Why? Well, because it's an interception, it's action, it's the course of the game action, right? They're saying, all right, he was frustrated, his team intercepted, he was trying, and that's a byproduct of it, so that's not why it's not criminal, but it was civil because the guy was injured.
Right.
Right? In this particular situation, if you distinguish it, it's not really in the heat of the play.
Right.
The play is stopped. There are no situations that would inflame because Cleveland's won the game at that point.
Right.
So it's not like you're frustrated, you're losing the game, and there's not even that element attached to it.
And DeCastro's in between him and the person he hit with the helmet. That's another thing. He's in between them now. The other part, Carson, and people that are mad at, and I don't like Mason Rudolph at all. I want to make that very clear. Mm-hmm. But Carson Wentz in the Detroit game, I was checking, got hit low, and he thought, and the refs did miss it. It was below the knee. He slapped a Lions player on the helmet, like, mm-hmm. get off of me, after he got hit because he was mad that he got hit low.
Yes.
That is part of, that's in the scope of football, where if you get hit and you think it's a dirty hit, you can take offense to it without it being criminal or anything. That's all Mason Rudolph did, was take offense to a hit that he thought was inappropriate. That is within the scope. In fact, everything was within the scope of football until he swung a helmet and hit him in the skull.
Well, exactly. And if you take the precedent of the Canadian courts, when they had an offensive swing of a stick upside a guy's head is criminally prosecuted, why wouldn't this be? Canadian courts that different in scope and in theory than this? Like, why in Canada, where they use sticks all the time, sticks go up, they hit guys in the face all the time, an overt swing of a stick, why is that not the same as an overt swing of a helmet?
Same thing.
Because it's America?
Yeah, no, that's not enough.
All right, let's go Thomas and Broomall. Thomas, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Thomas.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
What's up, Thomas?
But, I want to talk about Myles Garrett, too. You know, I think he should be prosecuted. I think he should stand in a courtroom, but I'm sure that's not going to happen. And I think which is even more bigger is it's on live TV. Everyone's watching it. You know, we're seeing this happen. And I still think that there should be more done. And I'm sure there were, kids watching the same thing mm-hmm. as some probably went to bed. But I'm sure they saw it. And they were probably thinking, hey, Dad, what's going on? Why is he hitting the other guy? I mean, it's about being a role model, but I don't think they look at it that way, certain players. But they have money. They have agents. They have lawyers. you know, they think that they're better than, I don't know if they think we're better than them, but they have the money where, you know, if they get suspended, that's fine because they're still millionaires. I think it's going too far, but I think maybe, you know, he's not playing this year. Maybe he should go to jail for 30 days, sit in a jail cell, and then come out after 30 days and see what happens.
Well, all right, so, but it's, you know, it's not going to be prosecuted.
No, I know that.
It's not. Here's what you have to ask yourself, Thomas. If you're a DA in Cleveland, what would be your motivation to bring criminal charges? What's the upside for you to bring those charges? That you want to do the world a favor?
I think so. I mean, like you said, maybe the one civil thing, the suit about the running back or something.
Yeah.
But, you know, bring it to court, you know, be the guy who's like, hey, you know, I'm fighting for, you know, justice.
All right,
I'm fighting
for other people. Think about it. It's an elected position. Okay. You're the prosecutor. You go, all right, do I want to do the world a favor here? What's the upside for me? Because at the end of the day, you're a human being, right? You know, what you'll do is make national news. You won't get reelected. It's as simple as that. And if doing the right thing is that important to you, I don't know how many righteous people we actually have left in the world that would do something like that. The motivation for bringing criminal charges is not there. It's just not there. But that's different than what the act actually is. That's two different issues. I can see why a DA would not want to bring charges. The other thing is it an assault and battery? And that's really what I want to get to, your opinion on why that is or is not an assault and battery. Let's go to Rick in the Northeast. Rick, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Rick.
What's going on, Mike?
What's up, Rick?
First time caller.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks for taking my call. I think in this case, for every action, there's a reaction. Whether Myles Garrett was right or wrong, I'm not saying that he was right. I don't agree with it. Don't think he was right. He should be suspended. But we don't get to determine the reaction of a person that's being that's against the wrongdoing. So his reaction might have been not warranted by others, but for his action, for Mason Rudolph's action, I think it called for a reaction from Myles Garrett, and the action just wasn't favorable. The reaction wasn't favorable of everybody who was seeing it on the opposite end.
Well, I got to ask you. Was that the act of an out-of-control human being swinging a helmet at a guy's unprotected head?
As a person viewing it, yes, but as a person that, if it was being done to me, it wouldn't have been.
So you can, it's basically an overreaction, is what it is. It's not a reaction, it's an overreaction, because it's an assault and battery. That's not a normal reaction.
I get what you're saying, but you're thinking legally, though. You're thinking legally.
No, I'm thinking like human being wise. It's not a normal reaction. You have a weapon in your hand and you hit a guy over the head.
It was a legal opinion, though. Your argument was a legal opinion.
No, I'm not. Well, I'm out of the legal opinion now. I'm talking about the act itself. The guy has a weapon in his hand. You're telling me that that's a normal reaction?
No, I think it's a reaction from what. You're on a ground.
Is it a normal reaction?
What is a normal reaction?
I don't know. You tell me. You're the one who made the case. You're telling me it's a normal reaction to hit a guy with a weapon, and he was prompted to do that by the circumstances. Now you got to explain that to me.
No, I'm not saying that, so I can't explain that to you because I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is you, as a reaction, we can't determine as the person is not being done to us, but viewing it, we might see it as an overreaction. But as the person that's being done to, if you're getting hit, your head pulled off, your instinct is to react because it's from anger. It's from frustration.
Yeah, but that doesn't change that it's assault and battery.
No, absolutely not. But that's not what I call it. That's not my...
Well, that's all we're talking about here. You know, you're... Somewhere in that was a justification that the reaction of Myles Garrett, if we put ourselves in his shoes, was appropriate. That's what I'm trying to get to. Where was it appropriate? You're saying that he was so heated that we couldn't put ourselves in his body because that actually could lead to acceptance on what he did. And I don't get that part of it. You know, there are reactions. Then there's the reaction that carries it to another level, which is what he did. A reaction, if you're angry at Mason Rudolph, you go up to him, you grab him or whatever. You don't brandish your weapon and slug him with it. I don't know. All right, Doug in Harrisburg, you're on 97.5.
Hey,
Doug.
How you doing? I've been trying to get in contact with you for the whole time. I'm going through this game, and I'm like, listen, first thing is one problem. It was in Cleveland. It was in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
So if it was in Pittsburgh, it'd have been a different situation.
Oh yeah, that's what I tried to say. It's all provincially motivated.
Imagine that was like an Eagles Cowboys game, and we was getting killed by the Cowboys, and we sit there and have to go through all that.
Uh-huh.
You think it would be a whole thing? It'd be like, you know, mass confusion. You know what I'm saying? It's like nobody don't understand that fact. It was a home game for them. So they were sitting there clapping him going off the field, but nobody don't even get that fact. The whole fact is, it was a home game for them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I heard, I ain't going to say the names of the people that I was listening to this morning, but like one person I don't like, but like, yo, if they trying to say the quarterback was the main aggressor, he's not the main aggressor. He had a person of two sizes of him pressing on his chest on the ground. He tried to get off. He tried to get him off.
Listen,
him.
Grabbing the guy's face mask is not enough justification to get up and
slug
him.
I get that. It's really simple.
But you raise a great point here. Let's just take it to another level. All right, Seattle's coming in next week, right?
Right.
Jadeveon Clowney gets involved in this kind of situation. He rips off Wentz's helmet. He swings the helmet at Wentz. Now, we're looking at it completely different, right? Does this DA, Larry Krasner, would he have the motivation to file criminal charges with knowing what the climate is in the fan base?
I don't think so.
The whole thing
with Embiid with the other guy when he got suspended for a couple of days. That's completely different, man.
This is a weapon.
But yeah, I know that. You don't hit nobody in the head.
That's what I'm saying. Would there be enough motivation and pressure on Larry Krasner to file a criminal charge against Jadeveon Clowney if he did the same thing to Carson Wentz?
That's the
question.
I think so, yes. Yes.
Now, again, if you reverse that situation, and this is in Pittsburgh, and Myles Garrett does that in Pittsburgh, would the Pittsburgh DA want to file criminal charges?
I think so.
I don't know. I don't know the answer to the question. I know that there's a very fine line here when you charge somebody criminally in a game that is a contact sport that can lead to incidents.
If Carson Wentz was hit in the head with a helmet here in Philadelphia by somebody, the fans would be storming.
The fans would.
Yeah.
Would the DA press charge?
Maybe.
Think he would have
with
to
enough public
it.
Pressure, he would definitely at least entertain the idea, especially
thing?
Here.
You see,
that's the thing. When the people that are justifying this, reverse it in your favor. Like, reverse it, make it local for you, and you tell me whether we would be prosecuted criminally.
Yeah, regardless of whether, if Carson was in danger.
Change Carson Wentz, though, because a lot of people hate him.
Okay.
If it was Nick Foles, because they hate Carson, they would say bleep Carson. If it was Nick, be honest, people, if it was Nick Foles who got hit in the head with a helmet, would they be cool with it?
Even if Nick was throwing fists.
Right, even if Nick was throwing fists. Be honest there, Folesy.
He'd be throwing kindness.
He'd be a peace-loving man.
Right, he'd be throwing love. love. Oh, no, why'd you hit me?
Please get off me, Miles. Juan in New Jersey. What's up, Juan?
Hey.
What's up, Juan?
Hey, man, I didn't get a warning this time. Usually y'all let me know when I'm up.
No, we decided not to give you a warning. We want to go straight to you.
Man, I couldn't wait to talk to you guys, man. Glad to hear you guys on the radio. I was calling in, man. I wanted to talk about the hit as well, but not just the one about Myles Garrett. Earlier, I mean, just because of all that, because of everything that happened towards the end of that game, everybody forgot also the hit. What was the guy's name? DeMarc, maybe Randall? Is that guy's name? The other safety from the Cleveland Browns?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, He may have concussed another Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver. I mean, the entire season, all night
they were headhunting. But, how about the helmet is not going to be criminally prosecuted?
No. That's not my biggest concern. But that's within the parameters like of football. I understand it.
Right.
It's not what you practice. He clearly led helmet to helmet. You should practice not to.
Yeah, I saw the play you're talking about. I know the play you're talking about. Yeah.
There's several other.
You got thrown out of the game for it.
Yeah, correct. Mm-hmm. There's several other times when another player is like going down and just the way that his body's going down and they end up colliding helmets and they still get ejected. That was clearly one that the officials handled correctly. Now, on something like this, I still can't believe that there's people calling in defending this guy because that move there had nothing to do with football. And that's why I don't care if it gets prosecuted or not. I think we should look at it from an NFL standpoint. That is not the look that you want in the NFL. You're supposed to be so concerned with these players' safety. It's already bad enough and dangerous enough that you shouldn't have to be worried about weapons being used on the field.
That's a good take. Listen, I've never seen this, okay? This is like something so unique. I've seen fights before. I've seen helmets ripped off. I've seen a guy kicked. Albert Haynesworth did it. I've actually never seen a helmet being swung as a weapon in football. I don't think it's ever happened. So this is an original situation we're talking about here. And if it's an original situation, then why wouldn't it be subject to an original criminal prosecution? Karen in Chester County, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Karen.
Hey, guys. I just want to make my point of saying I think that Rudolph took quite a hit, and I think that, really, I mean, he could have, God forbid, gotten a blood clot and died overnight.
We don't know that he's not hurt. It may come out latently that blow hurt him somehow, in which case he has the option to sue him in civil court.
I'm sure, and not only that, but, you know, the hits that these guys take, I mean, years down the road, they get Parkinson's. And this wasn't even in the game. This was, like, it's so mean-spirited, and I think it should be prosecuted. I don't think there's any room for that kind of, it's not even, I mean, it's...
Yeah, again, I asked you the same question. What would be the motivation now for that DA to bring criminal charges? Like, what does he have to gain by that?
Well, I don't know, but I mean... That could have been life-ending.
No, I hear you, Karen. And you know, like, so we're getting opinions on both sides, which is great, which is what I wanted to have happen here. I wonder if somebody's got to be in touch with that DA today. If you're a good journalist and you're working in Cleveland, that's the first call I make this morning.
He won't comment yet.
Yeah, he could.
Because I think
he could say, I'm not going to prosecute that.
I don't think he's going to comment yet. They did have the police go in to the locker room.
Did they?
After the game. And then they tried to say, oh, that was common. But it turns out that all the writers down there said, no, it's weird. They're going in to get comments, and the police are standing in there. They say,
they're investigating?
They were in the locker room last night. I don't know if they got a statement, but the official word was it was just common procedure. But it, apparently to all the writers there, it wasn't common to have the cops in the locker room.
If they did take this to a criminal, this would be such an unbelievable precedent that would be set if this actually is actionable, if they decide it's actionable.
The one thing I would worry about, I don't want people going to prison for helmet to helmet. And then sometimes if you prosecuted this, then I think there would be people who would then say, well, what about that? And then what about that?
That would never fly. And there's enough, there are enough case law that's just normal course of the game stuff. So that would never fly in a criminal. This is different. This is an assault and battery. Like a helmet to helmet is not an assault and battery. It's just a play. All right, let's go to Pete in the Northeast. Pete, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Pete.
What's up, Mike?
Going on, Pete?
Just what you guys were just talking about. Like, you don't know the guy's intent if he's going after a guy's head. You know what I mean? During the game. Just as a side piece. You don't know if he's actually physically going after his head to knock him out.
Well, he swung it at his head. I guess he was.
No. I'm saying on the other case, what Tyrone just brought up.
Oh, the helmet to helmet?
Targeting. Yeah.
Wow.
You don't know if there's guys out there that aren't actually going after a guy to hit his head and knock him out of the game.
If they're doing that, they're knocking themselves out of the game, too, because they're going to get thrown out.
Right.
So I think guys are trying to make a hard tackle, and they foolishly lead with their helmet. It happens in the course of action, which is why that's not criminal.
Right. The only thing I can think of or equate it to, maybe, is wasn't there an incident in hockey where someone swung a stick?
You didn't hear earlier in the show. There were three cases in hockey that were prosecuted by the DA.
Right.
And only one served jail time. Dale Cicerelli from the Red Wings served one day of jail time. McSorley got probation, and Todd Bertuzzi, if you remember that incident where he pummeled the guy's head on the ice, he plea bargained out of it somehow.
That's the thing. Also, what really could the courts do if it were, you know, he's being suspended for the rest of the year, fined a whole bunch of money. What else would, you know?
Well, but that's the league punishment, though. You're talking about a prosecutor. You can prosecute him for assault and battery, and whatever the statutes say is a punishment for assault and battery. That's what he would have to face.
You don't think the NFL, as the shield, would try and, you know, squash that?
Well, they couldn't. They have nothing to do with Cleveland law.
No, they don't, but, you know.
It's
frustrating, the whole thing.
Yeah, the league is not more powerful than the law. 610-632, although sometimes it seems they are. 632-0975. 610-632-0975. That's how you get in. It is Mike Maselli Show. Westbrook coming up 4 o'clock. Andrew Brandt 4:30. We'll continue to talk about this. All of a sudden, the Eagles and the New England Patriots have become secondary to the issue. And I am still on the soapbox. Eagles win the game. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. Fade pattern. Touchdown, Tyrone. Using that big frame from Stanford.
I'd be the happiest person in the city if that happened. Literally. I literally would be the happiest person in the city.
He was your man. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Let's get a Twitter poll update. The Twitter poll update is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons with Natalie Agonoff. Nat.
Thanks, Mike. Over 2,000 votes on this one so far. Should Myles Garrett be criminally prosecuted? 37% say yes, 63% say no.
Is that moving up? What was the first one?
Yeah, it's moving up.
It's going up.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now here's the easy answer on why the prosecutor should prosecute. It's sent to me by Jacob. Jacob says, here is the reason he should prosecute this. When he passed the bar exam and became an officer of the court, he took an oath to uphold the law. Well, yeah, I get it. But if the district attorney was not an elected position, I may agree with that even more. You know, everybody's trying to protect their own hide.
And he does have enough plausible deniability. It was on the football field, heated a moment. He can wiggle his way out of it fairly easily if he doesn't want to prosecute.
Yeah. He'll forever be known as the guy who prosecuted a member of his own hometown team. That's what legacy, would he want that legacy?
And he's a stud player.
Yeah.
Like a super stud player.
Right.
They say the third most impactful in football this year in yards per play on the field versus off the field. So...
yeah, and nobody is clamoring for a criminal prosecution in Cleveland of Myles Garrett. I can rest assured that public opinion would not prompt him to file criminal
charges. Most of Philadelphia is defending him. I can only imagine what they're saying in Cleveland.
Let's go to RJ in Lancaster. RJ, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. RJ.
Hey, what's up, Mike?
What's going on, RJ?
Hey, listen, my main concern about this is I don't think that he should have gotten hit with no helmet. But in the NFL, quarterbacks make it a part of their job to avoid being hit. They dodge it with full pads on, even during an interception or whatever. This is the one guy with no helmet that decided to go after, like you said, a stud the way he is, a lineman at that, and pursuing with no helmet on. I just feel like Mason shouldn't have been chasing. That was the biggest thing. As far as like pursuing him and getting him prosecuted, I think if you throw enough
Mason shouldn't have been chasing because he ran the risk of getting clocked in the head with a helmet.
Not just getting clocked in the head with a helmet, but getting clocked, period. I mean, you've been told to slide your whole career to avoid getting contact, but you decide the one time that you're going to go against that theory is when you don't have protection on your head and go after a big guy like that. You didn't think you were going to get hit with a helmet, but you shouldn't. I think he should have just, once he got pulled back, he should have stayed out of the conflict, and maybe it could have been avoided in that way. Now, he shouldn't have used a helmet because you're big enough that you shouldn't have to use a weapon. And you definitely is against the law.
Yeah, see, there's one thing when you're in a fight to scrap. There's another thing to know that you have a weapon. You know what I'm saying?
Correct.
I understand what you're saying. The emotion of the whole thing, and he's like precipitating. You know, he's hanging in there with the fight, and he's keeping it active. I get it. But the one guy has a weapon. You know?
Right. He shouldn't have used that. He should have cut.
That's all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. See, that's what puts it into assault and battery.
Okay. I understand. I just feel like the last point I would make is that with most things, you could throw enough money at it and it feels like it goes away, like a Dante Stallworth situation where, you know, throw enough money at it and you're back in the league, or it gets, especially when you're an important player. Yeah,
but he did time.
Dante Stallworth. Like 24 days, I think.
He didn't get out of it.
He did like 24 days. Yeah, like
he was still,
he did get prosecuted. You're right. You're right. He did go through. You're right. You're right. Okay, I understand that. That was my point. That's all I wanted to make. Mason shouldn't have been chasing.
All right. Mason shouldn't have been chasing. Listen, you're in a scrap. It's natural to chase. I'm not so sure it's natural to clock the guy with a helmet. That's all I'm saying. Greg in Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Greg.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, Greg.
So my question is this. Is the pitcher who has a ball or the ball 90 feet for the batter and throws 85 miles at his head and hits him, is that assault and battery?
That is technically, it could be assault and battery, but it's such a natural part of the game that it takes it out of the realm of assault and battery. It becomes part of the game.
But why do you believe it's a natural part of the game? It's prohibited. You're not allowed to throw a ball intentionally at a player.
No, so it's not prohibited at all. You can throw the ball anytime you want. You're going to get ejected if you do it. But guys throw at people all the time in Major League Baseball.
If you're going to get ejected, that means it's not permissible.
What, so your motivation here is to, like, tell me why you're sticking up for Myles Garrett.
No. I'm not sticking up. You asked the question. Your question to your listening audience is whether this is assault battery.
Okay, well, it's clearly different.
Throwing
a ball is in the game is going on. It's still action in the game. You're delivering a pitch.
That's where you're entirely wrong. If you intend
I'm not entirely wrong.
Which is a weapon, but when it's done,
you're missing the point. It's done within the lines of the game. The game is going on currently when you're throwing that ball. The game is not going on.
You're creating the lines to make your point. That's not part of the game.
Yes, it is. He's delivering a pitch. The game is still in action.
If you're intentionally throwing at someone's head, that's not part of the
game. It is part of the game. It's ball one. It's counted as ball one.
If you use your stick in hockey, it's the same thing? That's a weapon also. It's not permitted.
No, it's not the same thing. In fact, it's been prosecuted. I just got over. You got to listen to the whole show. That takes it out of the realm of the game when you swing a hockey stick at a guy's head. When you're throwing a ball, you're delivering a ball to send some kind of a message. Now, technically, is it assault and battery? Yeah, technically it is. But the game is still live when you're doing that. It may be a small distinction, but the game is still live. If you hit the guy, he goes to first base, it's ball one. And then they meet out the punishment and throw you out of the game where they think it was intentional.
Let me ask.
This is, the game has stopped when you commit this swing of a helmet on a guy's head.
Let me ask you, let's say there was a bench clearing brawl. And they happen from time to time. One big one happened last year.
And you take
year.
A bat and hit a guy?
Or you then take the ball and you threw it 90 miles per hour at a guy then.
Assault.
Then that's assault.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, there's a fine line between it. No. But that's, the game has stopped.
That's what I mean. The game stopped. The game clearly, has stopped. Guys are scrapping. But instead, one pitcher runs in from the bullpen and for whatever reason decides to fire one at a guy, hit him in the face at 95 miles an hour.
Yes.
That's assault then.
Yes. Takes a bat. Hits a guy. Clearly assault.
Assault.
Right?
Gotcha. All right.
If you want to prosecute it. 610-632-0975. It is the Mike Missanelli Show. It's 97.5 The Fanatic. Back after this.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Oh, 3:46. Mike Missanelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. We're about 14 minutes away. Brian Westbrook joined the show on Football Friday. And we'll get his opinion on whether the Eagles can pull this off on Sunday. One of the reasons why all the predictors of the people that cover the team have picked New England, which is another reason that I love the Eagles in this game.
Why?
When they all go one way, 80% of the time it goes the other way.
Now that one is the first thing I buy.
I have documented that over the years.
I buy that.
All right. Let's go back to the phones. Jake in Harrisburg. What's up, Jake?
Hey, Mike. I got an opinion on both things today. In the case of the Eagles, I'm not confident at all. And, I mean, obviously that's within reason. But I also look at this as kind of a trap line, kind of like the Denver-Kansas City line about 5 or 6 weeks ago.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It just seems to me like a trap.
It's too low a line, isn't it? Isn't it too low?
It seems that way. It really does. And when you look at the line,
moving.
It screams Eagles. It screams
New
Eagles.
Info has come our way. Jay Ajayi off the street has been signed. Howard's not going to play. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside has to start. What's logical about the line not moving here?
No, it does. It speaks volumes for the Eagles, but I just view it as a trap. I do. I really do.
A trap for what? For what? For who?
No, I mean, I just say out, like looking at the line like a trap for myself or a trap for you. You know what I mean? We've been trapped.
Oh yeah, but we're in a minority as far as looking at the line. Nobody really looks at the line. The average person looks at it and goes, "Well, they're going to kill this team with no weapons." Right?
Okay.
It's just a very small minority that will look at the line, whether the line matters to people. It happens to matter to me, but I can like go down the street and 50 people will think I'm crazy.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Well, that's just what it seems like to me. But anyhow, in the case of Myles Garrett, I do believe it is prosecutable and probably should be. Now, will it happen? Probably not. Now, I do have a theory that it might be outlandish and it might be unrealistic, but the DA that would take this on, that would be uncharted territory, and he would be a very big name in the realm of DAs and stuff like that because of doing this.
He would live forever in a notorious way and in maybe a good way.
Yes. Now you're probably correct. He probably would not get reelected in Cleveland again.
Right.
Cleveland and Pittsburgh aren't very far apart. What if he was to move to Pittsburgh? Would he be a hero in Pittsburgh for doing that?
Yeah, so he can get a job in Pittsburgh and they would welcome him with open arms. He'd get elected. Is that what you're saying?
You think?
All right, well there you go. So he gets Cleveland, he'll come back, make his comeback in Pittsburgh because he did the right thing by protecting the Steelers quarterback. I don't know. Listen, if he does it, he risks the wrath of his own hometown fan base. The other side of it is, he goes down as the landmark district attorney who finally prosecuted a professional sports case on American soil. He becomes known, law schools will teach this case forever. And he becomes known throughout the rest of time in every law school in America.
And he can make a good living on the speaking circuit, how he finally stood up to the big bad NFL.
There you go. And that's in his obituary.
Yep, stood up to the big bad NFL. And you know that if he does do this, the league will mishandle it. Because between Goodell and Troy Vincent, those two empty suits, they have no chance of handling it correctly if he did it. They would blink because they always get it wrong. So he would win the PR battle if he pushed through. It'd be the big bag league picking on this small-time, underpaid attorney. It would all work in his favor if he did it outside of Cleveland.
He would have to move.
Yeah, he couldn't live there.
He couldn't live in Cleveland again.
No. If maybe he doesn't love Cleveland. I mean, yeah, who loves
Cleveland? Well, maybe he's a Cleveland native. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't mean love it.
Let's go to Ed Wilmington. Ed, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ed.
Mike, how are you?
What's going on, Ed?
Hey, listen, Mike, I don't know how it works out for the DA and all that stuff, but I think you got to put it soundly on the NFL to clean up their act. I think it's a real game changer. I think the one word you've been hitting is weapon. When you take a helmet as a weapon, when you take it and make it a weapon, that is assault. And years ago, although I don't know the year, in hockey, you know, when you break your stick, back then they were wooden, you had to drop the stick because you can impale somebody.
Yeah,
with
you
it.
you still do that. You still have to do that.
Right, you have to drop the stick.
Right.
Well, I think the NFL has to change the rule. You got to drop the helmet. You can't pick up the helmet. I really think this is a trailblazer.
Yeah, that's interesting. They might have to adapt that way.
You're not going to hit him with the team.
No, you're right, because look at the fine line that there was there. Now, he hit him with the underside of the helmet. If he hits him, and he wasn't aiming to hit him with the underside of the helmet. He was just swinging his helmet. Suppose the head is in a position, and you hit his head with the crown of that helmet, and you kill the guy.
Now, you could have killed him. And
right. Now, that's manslaughter charge without question. So now when we're looking at the other criminal elements, assault and battery, why isn't it assault and battery? If it could have been a manslaughter charge that came out of it, which it definitely would have been, why couldn't there be an assault and battery case?
Weapon's your legal word, Mike, that you're hitting today that is, in my opinion, dead on.
All right, Ed, thank you. Let's go, John, Northeast Philly. John, you're on 97.5 Fanatic.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, John?
Nothing much. Just talk about that. I was kind of like bouncing off that last caller. It's like I think that's the point, right? Like if he drops, right? If he lands that on a different part of the helmet and he's lights out, whether he's dead or not, like we're not having this discussion, right? Like that's a different criminal case, you know. And it's still assault with a deadly weapon. He still hit him. His intent was to hurt him. Like he didn't pull back. He followed through. He's trying to hurt him. And I think if we're talking, it's not on a football field. There's no question, right? So, I don't know. I think it's really hard to nitpick this, you know, like it is what it is. You know, he escalated to a dangerous point where he could have killed the guy.
Yeah, it's definitely an assault, and it is a battery because he made contact. He connected,
right.
And there was a hitting. So,
right.
You know what? But again, we're talking about like somebody has to prosecute this. Either Mason
sure.
Rudolph has to file criminal charges, which he won't.
Absolutely.
Because he's a player in the league and there's a fraternity. You wouldn't just do that.
Right.
Or a overzealous prosecutor. And he wouldn't do it either because it's his hometown team that he would have to do it against.
But But you don't you look at it, it's like, okay, you're the guy, you're the DA from Cleveland. You also have to look at the bigger picture of what's the message you're sending to your youth, what's the message you're sending to your young football players in Cleveland and around the world. It's like, yeah, it's a giant PR move for him, but it's like, what message is the league sending? What message is Cleveland sending that, you know, if you get really hot and you see red, you're still allowed to hit a guy with a helmet? It's like, you got to take a hard look of, like, where do you take a stand? What goes beyond the confines of the game? I was an athlete. You know, like, you get hot, you want to swing on somebody, but you still have to have the ethic codes, you know, right? Like, it's because there are
people like, you know, even when you get hit with a baseball, right? Guys aren't taking bats out to the mound, are they? Guys taking a bat out to the mound? It's akin to what Myles Garrett had in his hand.
Right.
You're not taking a bat out.
No.
That's the reaction. All right? The overreaction is you get the weapon, you go one-up them.
And in that scenario, that would be like the pitcher coming forward, the catcher getting in between, and you swinging the bat around the catcher and hit the pitcher in the head.
Now, that has happened in history, like way back in the 60s. That John Roseborough catcher case with Juan Marichal hit the catcher.
Yeah.
Yeah, Juan Marichal hit John Roseborough over the head with a bat.
Now, he should have did time for that.
Probably. All right, 610-632-0975. It's the Mike Mussnelli Show. Brian Westbrook joining us in 5 minutes. A lot to talk to B. West about. We're back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.